Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Scotch Irish host of the PW Torch Livecast on Friday, St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, 2017. I'm Bruce Mitchell, to be joined in just a moment by Rich Fine. During the heart of this, just shows my dedication to you people. So grab your wallets when I say you people, to do the live cast on Friday night at 7:09. Excuse me for being a few minutes late. Wade Keller and I were doing right up until just about bell time, the first hour of the Bruce Mitchell audio show, and we talked about Paige and the unfortunate news of social media news with her. We talked about, of course, Goldberg and Madison Square Garden and Brock Lesnar, whole bunch of stuff, and I'm sure we'll talk about this too, including Southpaw Regional Wrestling. And so the person who brought that to my attention first is Rich Fond. So let's bring Rich into the show. Rich, how's your Friday night?
So far, so good. My wife's downstairs getting ready to cheer on her Blue Devils. I will give a polite fan instead of fawn. Since I'm not Scotch-Irish, I will just say I'm not wearing green, but my son and wife are, so that's where I'm at.
Well, I'll put it like this. I completely forgot it was St. Patrick's Day, driving to school today. It was picture day, and I forgot it was picture day, even though that's like I took the class picture. So I'm wearing this ratty Duke shirt that I wore all last weekend, as you can imagine. So because my priorities are my priorities. So that's all great. And also, it's like, you know, I'm not a professional when it comes to what people do on St. Patrick's Day and on New Year's Eve, and I don't want to be out there with a bunch of fools either. So that it's not my thing, but it's all right. And I'm like, and if you're in an elementary school, it's like you got to go find something green to put on, or they will pinch you. So.
Oh yeah, I had coworkers pinch me, and I didn't know that was a thing until my son came back from daycare and did the same. So it was definitely an experience. I'll put it that way.
Well, this is how bad I was. I'm like, I went and got a little piece of construction paper, green construction paper, cut it, took a paper clip, and paper clipped it to my collar. And I was like, that's my green. I dare
it's legal.
You. You're going to be in trouble if you pinch me. So, and it sort of worked. So that was kind of the idea. And then you have to make a little speech about don't pinch each other, particularly when you've got a culturally diverse, and I do, it's like, you know, a culturally diverse set of kids, some of which could give a rat's, you know, about St. Patrick's Day. It's not that big a deal to them, so you don't want them, like, you know, they don't really, you know, so you don't want them getting pinched. So that's always just one more, like, you know, it's just one more obstacle, like, drive through on the way to your career. So, that was my day. And I do want to tell you that I appreciate the sincere congratulations from the historic 4-night run that the Blue Devils made in the Barclays Center last week. And I'm sure there were members of your family that, that put it to you about it. So that was.
Oh, well, my wife gave me, she wouldn't let me leave the house today for work until I filled out a bracket, because I'm not a big basketball fan outside of supporting Pitt and booing Duke. So she refused to let me leave. I filled it out, and she was shocked that I actually, and I think my buddy Chris is on the line as well tonight, he'll fall over. I picked Duke to win the national championship, and I used the pro wrestling mindset of if they could win 4 days in a row for the ACC, if you give them a day off in between, you only made it worse for the rest of the tournament.
Well, I mean, I hope you're right. I do want to thank, we had a nice response to, and I want to thank Pat McNeil for actually putting the brackets together on Yahoo. We had lots of folks that are on that participate in live casts and just a lot of like VIP members. We are, and I have confirmed this with Wade Kellett. It's the first thing I said to him because he completely went radio silent when I announced that we were going to give away T-shirts, but T-shirts are on their way, and I like what I'm hearing about that. I'll put it like that until he puts it up. So the first two, who are the first two finishers in that will be receiving Pro Wrestling Torch T-shirts, and I'm excited to see how that works. And Wade and I, without going into too much specifics, we're on the same page about that. And I wasn't really sure because I put him on the spot because this is something that I've been pushing for a while and for a long while. And I was just like, we need to have something to do this. So the other point I wanted to make was I haven't checked in the last hour or so. But it's really gratifying to like do something like this and to be at the bottom of the bottom of the bracket. Now I did sit there at lunch. What was it? Wednesday or Thursday before the game started with the kids, and I'm like, I'm a basketball fan. But I don't watch everybody. I don't stay up till 1 o'clock in the morning to watch the West Coast teams and all that. And I have a general idea of the decent teams, and I waste too much time watching wrestling to like do that and talking to you. So, I'm sitting there going, okay, the 8-9 games and some of these games. So I just started asking my students, like, thumbs up red or thumbs up green, and then I would pick a team that way, and thumbs up Jayhawks, thumbs up thumbs up Wildcats, and. And they were like kind of looking at me like I'm nuts while they're eating their lunch, and that's how I filled out some of my bracket. But there's no money in it. I don't gamble because as one of our callers will tell you, the only time I gamble I lose. So I don't gamble. So it's like that's just the fun of it. It's just something fun to do. And I always, I think you should pick your favorite team. If your team's in there, and you're a North Carolina Central fan, and I am, that would be my second team. I would have picked them to win the national championship because what are we, why are you watching sports if you're not rooting for somebody and doing that? So,
I support a team that has the unfortunate ability to take for granted their coach, whereas Pitt hasn't necessarily been at the level of Duke or some of the other titans of the ACC. I think the Jamie Dixon-led Panthers had a tradition of at least showing up and showing well in the tournament. They might flake out at the Sweet 16 or Elite 8, but I'd rather see that, kind of like with football, I'd rather see that than to see them kind of have the struggles they've had in the years since, and then to see Jamie Dixon at TCU slowly doing the same thing he did when I was an undergraduate student at Pitt, getting them to the NIT, then the next year to the tournament, then the next year round deeper. It builds, and Rome wasn't built in a day, but I think a lot of people think nowadays, especially, it was.
No, you're exactly right. And I was listening to you say Sweet 16 is a major accomplishment. The Elite 8 is a major accomplishment. But now, just with the immediacy of national teams and the immediacy of this tournament, there's not that appreciation for that. And it's kind of how life is now. But, my 11-year-old sports dreams came true in a ridiculous fashion, and I say this all the time. I still very much appreciate it. That Friday night, last Friday night, was amazing. I just thought Carolina was kicking our butt, and this is it. Just stay within range, and maybe at the end pull off some sort of miracle, which they've done before with them. But it was something completely different. And wow, what a deal. So four games and four nights. So have you watched regional Southpaw regional wrestling?
Yes.
On the WWE Network?
I have. I watched it on YouTube. The sad part is it isn't even on the network.
I found it on the network. I found something.
You found it on mind then.
It's hard to find.
I saw it on YouTube.
Yeah,
I watched it on the link they had on the on the Twitter. As I sound like my dad, the link they had on Twitter went to a YouTube page that had it in playlist form. So I watched it there during my lunch break because it was only 7 or 8 minute episodes, so it was perfect.
Right. I watched about three episodes. So, and I talked at length with Wade about it. Wade hadn't seen it, but I definitely talked about it. And what was your, what did you think about it? We come from different generations of wrestling fans. So what did you, and we should say, it's a parody of a certain type of territorial wrestling promotion that was on its way out in the 80s. You know, it's a VCR tape on its way, you know, it's and there's some elements of, you know, the Crockett's and Georgia Championship Wrestling. I really thought more Southeast Championship Wrestling and things the Fullers did, Southeastern and the things that the Fullers did. But yeah, there's definitely, so tell me what your reaction was to it.
Well, first of all, I loved it, and the reason I loved it is because it's not necessarily for the reasons a lot of people will think. The first is, I'll really enjoy your reaction to this and your reaction to watching the three episodes you did. I'm of the impression, sorry, my brain's not working, that what they released seemed like a joke to whomever greenlit it, but they took it seriously. And the reason I say that is, I told a buddy on Twitter the same thing. I think some people are taking it as WWE releasing this video show on the Hokey Hicks and how they used to do wrestling before Vince blessed us all with sports entertainment. And I took it as these guys are the people on the roster that actually like pro wrestling and they aren't sports entertainers, and they're doing their best love letter, so to speak, similar to the Hardys, where they're showing the people that they appreciated when they were growing up, in particular Cena. Cena basically channeled like a combination of Gordon Solie and Bob Cottle and basically was it Champ Kind from Anchorman in the role he played as the embattled announcer. And I've also heard over the years, on MLW radio, he would call himself Sex Ferguson, but he called himself Tex Ferguson for, you know, PG purposes on the show. But that's basically what Doc Gallows' joke gimmick was when he was pretending to be an 80s wrestler making towns. And he just took that, I think, with a bunch of his buddies who wanted to have fun and went from there. It's also sad that both Breezango and the Ascension got better coverage in the fake territory than they do in their real one, but that's probably a story for a different day.
Yeah, you know, when I first started seeing this come across my social media, Facebook and Twitter, particularly Facebook, I'm friends on Facebook, and as you can imagine, with some old-time, particularly indie wrestling guys from around here that and they've been around forever and ever, and they grew up on territorial wrestling, Crockett and George and all that, and they were mad. And even Ed Zahn, the old ECW promoter, I mean, it's like they were mad. Like the whole idea of, you know, Vince is like sticking it to wrestling and all that. But I'm looking at it going, well, you haven't seen it yet. And what it reminded me of, I talked about this a little bit, the second hour for VIP for Bruce Mitchell Audio Show is going to be, I'm going to talk to the author of a new book called Breaking Kayfabe, Jeff Baldwin. Baldwin, the Booker column from 25 years ago when he was over. And a guy who's interviewed a lot of the older wrestlers for this book. And I can remember back in the tape trading days getting tapes from him. And you know, you're sitting there watching these Japanese matches and these old matches from back in the day. And that was the way, there was no internet. So that was like a really cool thing to get 6 hour tape and watch this stuff and tape trading tapes for money. But anyway, and then watching it, and all of a sudden here's Jeff and his buddies doing their own little angles, you know, in front of a video camera and cutting promos like the way they'd like to. And that's what it reminded. It was like, it was kind of funny to me. It was like, we haven't had Baldwin on at all on these shows. But this is what this reminds me of, is like people screwing around with the video camera, or, you know, screwing around with all the easy ways to, to tape stuff. I didn't take it as an insult at all. I mean, it's like, who cares? I mean, that's fine. I was a fan of Cena. I thought Cena was good. You know, Cena, yeah, he was playing the Anchorman, and he was playing, you know, the ultra serious wrestling announcer. But there was a, I also had a sense that I thought was kind of missing was slowing it down so much that it was a boring way to do it. And you know, Gordon Solie was anything but a boring, straight-laced announcer. I mean, it's just he had all kinds of catchphrases and all kinds of, as he took it very seriously, there was still this thing. And Wade and I had a long talk about parody stuff, and that the key, to me, the key to parody stuff, and it's not even me, it's not the craziness, it's the structure and then the craziness. If you don't have the structure in place and really scrupulous about it, if you're doing a magazine parody, the best magazine parodies, National Lampoon did a really vicious one on Mad Magazine, and it was great, but it followed the art style, it followed the format, it followed everything, and then it made its points. And if it hadn't had that structure, it wouldn't have been anywhere near as good. And they were the most vicious, the most intelligent, you know, the place where so many people came out of it that you know, Christopher Guest and Saturday Night Live and a lot, you know, Animal House and Caddyshack and all that, that still has this great influence on our culture. They came out of that, and like that was the thing, was they were scrupulous about the structure of the parody first. And they even talked about this in a way, you know, Leslie Nielsen in the Naked Gun movies, he played every situation straight. And he was really funny because he was in these absurd situations and he played it completely straight. And that dichotomy is where the parody works. And I say this honestly as, I don't know, the one person I can think of in the last 20 years who's written humor pieces consistently about wrestling. Wrestling is really hard to do with that. And I think that those guys, they did, it was so ridiculous that you lost the other part. Like they needed the, you know, they needed more of the structure. But it was definitely, you know, it's fun to see them screwing around. And, you know, Luke Gallows I thought was good. And there was like certain types, the Jimmy Valiant type and the mullet and all that, that was, and the mullet guys that, were, you know, it was kind of fun, but I also thought it's younger guys who didn't live through it. And the truth of the matter is, the really serious territorial wrestling was funny as hell because it took itself so seriously. And it worked on more than one level. It worked on, I want to kill the assassin for smashing that trophy over, smashing that plaque over Dusty Rhodes' head. And it acted like it was the biggest thing in the world. And, you know, we talked about last week, Cowboy Ron Bass turning on Dusty Rhodes, and they took it as it was the most important thing in the world. But if you're watching it, you also were laughing a little bit because it was ridiculous. So if you kept that was going to be, I always think that's going to be really hard to do, to make a wrestling parody show. And God knows, I think it's going to be impossible to do of the Monday Night Wars and Vince Russo and Crash TV. How do you do that? I mean, there's no way. It's too ridiculous on itself.
I'd argue that that's being currently done by the folks with the panda, or I guess now the owl.
Yeah, they're not getting 50,000 viewers yet, but they're not doing it intentionally. And that was a lot. Like the funniest stuff was the unintentionally funny stuff. But when you're sitting there going, hey, you know, and the stuff that like is just hard to watch is, hey, it's wrestling, it doesn't matter, so let's just make fun of all this. And like, yeah, that doesn't work for what I'm talking about because it doesn't have that structure. It doesn't have any kind of underpinnings to it. So anyway, that's my little highfalutin speech on that. But it was interesting. I'm going to watch some more of it. And I didn't take, there are things that I've definitely taken from WWE that have been, you know, that I found insulting as a Southern boy that grew up during that time, watching that wrestling, and unnecessarily so, but this wasn't one of them. You know, this was like those guys are having a good time, and, you know, Jericho was having a good time, and
Jericho, I don't know if you and Wade mentioned the whole Jericho situation, because I figured Wade would get a kick out of that, because the promoter's son, who happens to own the airtime for the station, is doing the interviews and won't let someone hold the mic. The art imitating life there, that's the case of where I thought, and I completely understand where you're coming from, but I thought a lot of what they were doing came from a place of mom and dad let us play, and they don't realize some of these jokes are about them as well.
Right, sure. And you know, that's also, I mean, it works with, you know, it works with the goofy son gets to have the match with the best worker on the big show.
Right.
You know, that we're seeing right now, and the goofy son has, you know, he's not George Gulas, a famous goofy son who couldn't do anything, but
look at the fact that they were complaining of in one of the storylines, they were complaining about the stuff that was going on with Tex Ferguson just delved deeper and deeper into insanity. And we're going to have one of the main events where a guy declared himself the spawn of Satan and will seek revenge for his undead sister / fellow spawn / mentor.
Yeah, and the one, you know, that one and the one with the banker versus the hillbilly. Hillbilly characters were good. But the banker versus the hillbilly, that wasn't something that would have gone on. It really doesn't relate to anything but kind of the overreaching of WWE and WCW to me. I mean, that's, you know, that was more a parody of that. I will tell this story. I'm going to hit a commercial and hit some. And folks, if you're online, we're going to get to you. And it's just an interesting conversation, so I'm just kind of continuing it. But there's a story about John Cena and veteran wrestlers, and it goes like this. Jack Briscoe, Jerry Briscoe, I think Brian Blair, Paul Jones, and like 10 years or so ago, within the last 10 years, they would have, you know, of course, Jack Briscoe's passed away, the former NWA champion. They would meet in Florida and have lunch or have dinner together. And it was just kind of like the old wrestlers, and they, you know, they had all these experiences together in the Florida territories and all around the world. And so they're sitting there having dinner, and this guy sitting at the end with them, this younger guy, and he's just listening. He never says anything. But he's very attentive and very respectful. And Paul Jones goes, "Well, so what do you think of the modern product?" He says, "Well, I never watch it. I don't know who's doing what, who's doing well. Who's the top guy now?" And Jerry Briscoe goes, "It's John Cena." And says he's doing a good job. Like, all right, that's all right, but I just don't have that much interest in it. Well, and then he points, there he is right there, and he introduces him to John Cena. John Cena is sitting very respectfully listening to these guys talk about the old days of wrestling because he wants to. So there's some respect there, and like he won some respect with that. And you can say it was a manipulative robot thing to do. I wouldn't. It was something that he did because he. Those guys, you know, Jericho's been all around the world and grew up with wrestling and all that. They're still young. They're still somewhat young to be, to really get some of it. But it's interesting. It's okay. You know, it's okay. I would say.
Yeah.
So.
And if you look at, I know when people are like, obviously they're listening here with us in the Torch and go VIP. I you know, if I can do the, not only am I co-hosting this with Bruce, I'm also a client. Definitely worth it. You can get great interviews, and I think listening to the interviews these guys have given over the years, either with Wade or on their own podcast, you can tell that Jericho has a reference for the era of wrestling he was a fan of and how he appreciated the announcers. And when he does things like talking shop on his show with Gallows and Anderson, they delve in. You know, he automatically starts taking on characters when they're doing play acting that are basically apes of things he saw as a kid. So, I don't want to turn this into it. We could wait to the break to discuss this, but I feel like you would never see Roman Reigns in something like this because that's not why he's here. And I respect that, but that's not why he's there.
That is something with that. But there's more fans, I think, in this modern generation, whether Roman Reigns is or not, but there's more fans of wrestling that got into wrestling much more than, say, in the early 90s, where it was seen as like the bodybuilders could make some quick money getting into wrestling, and they weren't fans, and didn't have that appreciation for it. Where now we have too much of, like, I have a passion for this, instead of looking at it like a business. The balance has gone too far the other way. You talk about Jericho holding the mic away from the champion and just hogging the mic. There's the story of Jim Ross when he's starting his career. He's sent by Bill Watts to go to Houston Wrestling with Paul Bosch, and that, you know, Watts is helping Bosch promote promote Houston wrestling on Friday night, so that, and Bosch would call the wrestling. And, you know, he'd have different color commentators, and he's looking at Jim Ross, doesn't like Jim Ross, takes the microphone, puts his two hands around it, and just hogs the microphone to the point where Ross can't get a word, you know, never gets called on, can't get a word in edgewise. So those little petty things definitely went on. It's not just Wade Keller yelling Bruce, Bruce, Bruce. I mean, that was definitely, there's definitely all those little petty back and forth politics that went on in those days too. So we're going to go to commercial. We're going to hit phone calls. We're going to hit phone calls. So let's do that.
When you're looking to tune in live to the PW Torch Livecast, find out about the next episode, or just catch up on an episode you missed, go to our new website, pwtorchlivecast.com. You can select shows by specific day, specific host, and format, including a grid of our latest interviews and best of selections on the homepage. That is pwtorchlivecast.com, where you can stream our show live and listen to past shows on demand. That's pwtorchlivecast.com.
Let's go to someone I owe an apology to. Let's go to Darrell.
Hello. Hello.
Hello. Yes.
Yeah. Hey, Bruce. Hey, Rich.
Hey.
How y'all doing today?
Let me start off with Darrell. I apologize to you. I felt so bad. You're in Georgia. You know. You hate Duke. I guess you're a Carolina fan. Whatever that is. And But you're not involved with the way those of us who, you know, grew up in Durham and Chapel Hill or in Greensboro and Charlotte and Raleigh and all that, where, you know, the person next to you that you work with hates your team and loves the arch rival. And then, you know, like there's nothing, I can't like really discuss, you know, you're in Georgia, so the Georgia fans are all there against the Alabama fans. The Alabama fans aren't living right on top of you. So I'm used to that, and I take a lot of crap, but it's also like I don't take it seriously. It's like something fun to do, and the Carolina fans that get it, they get it. And we mean everything we say mean to each other, but we also don't. So I saw that post after the Duke Carolina game where Duke got all those foul calls because the Carolina kept fouling them, and got all those foul shots. That I saw your thing. I saw your thing complaining about it on Twitter. I woke up at 3 a.m. and I look and I go, "Oh yeah, well here's a tissue," and I type it to you. I tweet it back to you, and then I come to find out that you got so mad at me that you stayed up and started watching the game. You couldn't sleep, and you're like up watching the game and counting all the bad calls that went against the Tar Heels. And so, that's not what I meant to do. It's like, I felt bad about that. It's like, I meant to stick it to every Carolina fan, but, you know, it's like, I'm not, you know, like, when you're used to it, it's like, okay, you just brush it off. But, man, I'm sorry, Darrell. I was like, oh, my God. Hello?
Oh, he was so angry he hung up on you, Bruce.
No, he's still there, I think. So, yeah, okay. Darrell, you there or not there? We'll come back to you, all right? Let's go to another friend. I guess he did hang up. He got so mad at me. All right. Hopefully that wasn't the case. Wouldn't be the first time. On the other hand, I have made people frob at the mouth on this subject. So John Hitchcock was not happy to see me on Wednesday. I'll put it like that. So let's go to Colin in New Jersey. Colin, welcome to PW Torch Livecast.
Thank you, Bruce. How are you and Rich doing this week?
Excellent. I'm watching Duke Troy on mute to cheer for my wife and my mother-in-law, or my mother, I'm sorry, and just hope it is merciful.
As a good husband and son-in-law should, Rich.
So what do you have for us, my good man?
Oh, my first question for you guys is based upon the uptick in Impact ratings for last night. Are viewers really excited by the alleged changes that they may see, or did they just tune in to go, I can't believe we're back to the same old crap again?
Well, I don't believe this is the formula, because people have lies. They're not going to, I don't think you're going to waste your life going, well, let's see how bad it is. I heard it was really bad, and it was really bad the first week. So let me tune in and see how bad the car wreck is. I think that gets over-exaggerated. They gained 50,000 viewers, and that's certainly better than losing viewers. It's 50,000 plus, pluses. So that's fine. I would just say we won't know until we get 6 weeks in. We won't know until we get a month in. Sometimes you see these they go up, they go down, and they stay at the same place. And they've got a long way to go. I mean, they've got to build that audience. They've got to build it in a way where the audience starts to want to spend money on the product instead of just watching. That was always, even at the height of their rating, that was, it's great to have all those eyeballs, but they won't spend any money for you. It's tough. So that's there. What do you think, Rich?
I think the proof is going to be in the long term, not the short. And when it comes to Jeff Jarrett and his role in running promotions, I would rent and not buy when it comes to success being associated with it. Right now, I'm just thinking about all the independent promotions that saw what they did to Ring of Honor and are wondering how petty they're going to be with the next person or the next person. And so you can talk about how well they're doing, and we could talk about what they did with the Broken Hardys, and I just find it curious that you're going to complain about the Broken Universe and then you're going to bring out one of your bookers and have him use a catchphrase he used in the WWE.
There's no consistency of character, and I mean that not in the storyline sense. I mean in just the type of person that you are. I wrote about this week. I just thought last week was a disaster for TNA as far as appealing to the fans that they need to appeal to get back up and running. And between what they did with the Ring of Honor show, sending out those letters to the cable operators that were carrying the pay-per-view, and how they treated their top act, and or how they perceived to treat their top act, and then having that show with those just terrible promos from Dutch Mantel and Bruce Pritchard. I think that I think that was off to the wrong foot. I don't know that last night was anywhere near as bad, but we'll see. That's there. What do I think? I think the same thing I thought a week ago. 50,000 viewers or not, I think that I think the same thing. So we'll see how we'll see how that goes. 623, you're up next on the PW Torch Livecast.
Hey Bruce. Hey Rich. This is Brian calling from Phoenix.
The legend.
Hi, Brian. I'm sorry. Long week. I always say that. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Brian.
No problem. Give me a sec. I'll take you off the speakerphone. And, of course, my phone fails me. So while I try to figure this out, I have a question, but I actually have two statements first.
There we go. Much better. Okay, and I always like to say this. I hope you both have a real good weekend. You're welcome. My two statements are, and they're both dealing with SmackDown. One statement, Rich, I talked about this a little bit on the East Coast cast. I know you'll talk about the East Coast cast and how listeners can listen to that. But
Brian is so polite to me. When I don't do the things I should do every time, Brian has a way of just very nicely reminding me. I honestly appreciate that. We need to do that.
Well, Brian has the Western version of Bless Your Heart.
Yeah.
Well, technically, Rich, remember it's a Midwest version because I'll always be a Detroit guy.
Oh, forgive me. I forgot you're originally from there. It is. It's that Midwestern charm out getting brought to the wild, wild west.
And really is a wild, wild west. They have open carry laws or open. You can carry a gun around. I say that.
Yeah. I was about to say, yeah, open carry is not I know a lot of schools are thinking about moving to it, but that'll be a political coast cast conversation we'll have next week, and I'm not really comfortable with it.
I would agree with you. Political coast cast. Okay, so going to Randy Orton, again, these two will be about SmackDown. With Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt. So I understand why, a lot of wrestling enthusiasts, they didn't like how the promo on SmackDown a couple of days ago with Bray, okay, I'm stronger than ever, and I'm putting the ashes of Sister Abigail over me. But if you think about it in this respect, is that why, he already showed his weakness when the camera was being burned down. And now he's going, is he going to tell Randy, I'm still suffering because of what you did? No, he's going to come back and he's going to try to psych out Randy, saying, well, I'm just as strong as ever. So this next week, or the next 2 weeks, I should say, it's going to be pivotal to see about how Randy responds, but then also the first time we actually see Bray live and how does he act. So I would say before, the fans of and Torch listeners and Torch editor publishers say these things, you should just kind of step back a little bit and think about it that way. And I'm going to digress for 1 second, Bruce. And I told this to Rich and I told this to Travis, is that when I saw Randy burn down the cabin, to me it looked a lot like those pictures that you and Bruce, that you and Travis took when you were up at editor publisher Wade Keller's cabin in Minnesota. Some of that background looks a little similar to it. I remember that SmackDown did happen in St. Paul that week. So I'm just
follow
saying,
the buzzes.
Leave it there.
Literally follow the buzzes. You're putting it together.
I could see you're more weak-minded people following a cult like Bray Wyatt has. I'm not saying I hadn't thought about that though. There's something to that that would explain some things, I guess, not everything, but I talked about major changes in the Wyatt character coming into WrestleMania, and I made some kind a little bit tongue in cheek, a little bit not suggestions as far as that went, that there would because the center of his power got burned down, that they wouldn't just blow it off and go, but you had to do something where you changed it. They kept him, made him even more powerful, kept him powerful. Because what you didn't want to do is have Randy Orton burn down the house and desecrate the bones of his power of his sister Abigail, and then he's weaker, and it's like, well, okay, that's not such a great match. You want the conflict of I don't know, evil and even more evil to be strong and to be a real contest, and that's I didn't. Yeah, but I also thought the laziest thing to do is kind of what they did. Now, I did like the idea of, at least the mumbo-jumbo talk was fairly creative. I'm going to cover her ashes and all that. But I think it goes to the weakness of this character that they haven't thought it out, even to the point where they thought out Kane and Undertaker and, who killed whose mama and who died in the fire and whose fault it was and blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. I mean, they needed to add a little bit. A little bit more to it. I mean, I think it's going to be okay at WrestleMania. I think it'll be all right, but I don't think that Bray Wyatt comes out of this all that much stronger. So that kind of concerns me. This should be something that elevates him. I do think that the fact that we haven't seen Luke Harper tells me something about how the match is going to go at WrestleMania. So I think that that's, and they've been good about just quietly having him disappear, and so that's a plot point they can use on the big show. Rich, what's your sense of how that went?
The first thing I thought of, and I mentioned it to Travis, and I mentioned it to my buddy Daniel yesterday when I was talking to him. It bugs me because Bray Wyatt, from the start, has been the Cape Fear meets Branch Davidian camp, Southern cult leader that is trying to bring you to his, farm and have you drink the Kool-Aid and everything's going to be all right. Amen, amen. And now he's this hokey Rob Zombie-esque devil worshiper that, you don't have, like you said, with The Undertaker and Kane, you had this ethos, you had this base storyline. If this was a, if this was a soap opera, you would have one writer in the room with the book that says this is what this person's character is about. they just went to the random devil worshiper because they don't have anyone that has any idea about theology or just whatever the motivation is for the very person that created the character. They should have went to him because that was, what is it, Wyndham? Is that it? Wyndham Rotunda's whole character was, I read the Bible and here's the things I wanted to do with this guy.
Yeah, that's true.
And so that makes me feel...
They don't seem to have a base, sort of like the parody stuff. They don't seem to have a base of knowledge to then weird up to you know, something, some sort of you know, place to go to and somewhere to root it. And yeah, that's kind of a problem with it with that character.
Yeah, and that little special effects thing they did at the end where he was going to power himself up with her ashes gave me the opportunity to say Bray Wyatt is the darkest world champ they've had since Dwayne Johnson.
A little ashy. Okay. I think this is an okay part of WrestleMania and an okay Randy Orton deal and an okay Bray Wyatt deal.
It's fine. And you know, for the people who are going to complain, Daniel Bryan lost in what, 8-9 seconds to the Royal Rumble winner in the opening match of his WrestleMania. So. It's happened before, so
yeah.
I'm not insulted, or I don't feel like I've been cheated. If anything, I feel like the closer we get to WrestleMania, the closer Vince's vision for Raw and Vince's vision for SmackDown become more apparent, as opposed to the, you know, 8.5 months we get a SmackDown where it's kind of left alone.
Oh, yeah, the fingerprints start getting on it. There's some things that they're definitely not the greatest buildup, but I think like they have been more focused than this man has been on stuff. And we say this every year, but they kind of, I know that like the Goldberg, Goldberg Lesnar thing whose hands it's in, and that's pretty strong. You know, that's been a pretty straightforward direction. And then the direction of Roman Reigns and everything else kind of there. And at least it's something that the guy believes in, so there's more direction in it, but whether it'll work or not, whether it'll be in the same place, I don't know. When the business model is, you know, he's good at, you know, that Reigns is effective enough, but
right.
It just seems like, you know, it seems like in the long term, that's not going to go, but maybe this is the one that gets everybody to, you know, by the time he finishes, however long it takes him. Now Wrestling Observer's reporting that it's going to be, you know, WrestleMania next year will be Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar. So I thought it'd be quicker.
I think
than
by
that.
WrestleMania 34, or wait, no, is that 30? Yeah, it'd be 34 next year, right?
I'm the wrong person to ask that. I'm like Vincent Mann.
Okay.
Like, I can't think of the number.
I'll say this then. By next year's WrestleMania, I think they're going to run out of legends to roll out to vouch for Roman, because you already had The Rock try it. That didn't work. You've had... Shawn Michaels do it
the other night. Yeah, Shawn Michaels did.
The second he came out and said, you know, I like your Roman. Ooh.
Yeah. I know how you feel. No, you know, you're good and he sucks. Like, no.
Yeah.
Like, oh, God. But yeah, that was, they are going to like run out of them at some point. And then maybe, you know. But I think the only hope for people who hate Roman Reigns and don't want him to be at the top of the promotion is that somebody get hot that they like better than Roman Reigns, and we'll see whether that comes through. But Brian, appreciate the phone call, and I'm gonna give Rich a chance to talk about the East Coast cast.
Absolutely, every Wednesday during the free portion from 6:30 p.m. to I want to say whenever the guys get tired, but I think it's close to 9. Travis Bryant and Cameron Hawkins do the live portion, just like we're doing here on Blog Talk Radio. Then from whenever they get done to whenever we get done at night, I do the VIP with Travis. We talk about literally anything you want. It could be the Political Coast Cast, Entertainment Coast Cast, sometimes, you know, things like the subject matter of what they brought up on Bring It to the Table gets asked. That was asked 2 weeks ago on East Coast Cast, well before Vince McMahon sent it through 15 filters to make sure it was okay. So Wade has given Travis and the two of us, I guess, the opportunity to kind of have that. And so we invite you to go to East Coast Cast on the Facebook. If you search at East Coast Cast on Twitter, that's the Twitter handle. And if you go into Google or your appropriate search device, search for East Coast Cast on Blog Talk Radio, you can see when we have our next showings.
People enjoy the show. A lot of the live cast on Friday, thanks to Travis, thanks to you, is flavored by the East Coast Cast. We have some of the same callers, and good show. There's times when I've listened and I want Travis to pick up the pace, but besides that, but it's not, you know, I don't know if it's a show for old guys either.
There is a stand in order. I wanted to let you know that even when I was just a listener, one of the things I always wondered is why you or Wade never did a special guest appearance on the East Coast Cast. It'd be like the night John Cena showed up in the ECW arena for the one night stand versus Rob Van Dam.
Well, here's what I would say. When we were up at the compound this summer, at the Wyatt compound in Minnesota, and I walked into the room while Travis was recording the East Coast Cast, and I said something to him. He told me to get the hell out. So, I mean...
You got to understand, Travis also wants to be the top banana.
Yeah, well, of course, yeah. But that was definitely... That was, like, made very clear to me, and I was like, yeah, no, get out. on the air, too, as I recall. So,
He wants to be Morris J. Day on Wednesdays, and you get to be Jerome. And so that's a power dynamic thing. I don't know, because, every now and again I'll get a text and he's like, ever since I left on Fridays, the numbers I hear are going down. He just likes to keep people humble.
He hasn't done that to me. He better not do that to me. But, I think the numbers have been all right. But, I'm going to get him then. All right, that's fine. Well, now he's with his favorite Wade. So he would always make that point to me that he's not a Bruce Mitchell guy. He's a Wade guy. So, and I kind of saw why that was, hanging out with everybody together.
Oh yeah, see that's I would say no, that's inappropriate. I'm just gonna say let sleeping noses lie or remain brown, whatever you like.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Do you love Pro Wrestling Torch? Then we've got another show just for you, Ring Rust Radio.
Ring Rust Radio breaks down the hottest topics and news from around the wrestling world, including WWE Raw, SmackDown, and pay-per-views, TNA, Lucha Underground, New Japan, and indie wrestling. Add in interviews with the biggest names in the industry, like Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Paul Heyman, Kurt Angle, and many more. And Ring Rust Radio is something for everyone.
Check out the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Interact with us on Twitter at RingRustRadio and email us at RingRustRadio@yahoo.com.
All right, that's where we on this thing. Let's go to 704. 704, you're up next on the PW Torch Livecast.
Hey, guys, it's Brian from Charlotte. How you doing?
Hi, Brian.
Hey, on Wednesday's podcast with Jason and Wade, they talked a lot about how WWE is messing up the women's revolution. So I was just wanting to get your guys' opinion on why has the women's movement become such an afterthought, and what specific steps would you try to do to restart the divisions on SmackDown and on Raw?
Rich?
I would say I agree with both of them in that the divisions have kind of gone into a bit of a morass, but I would say one of the keys is if it wasn't for the brand split, we wouldn't see the stark difference between the SmackDown women and the Raw women. The problem on Raw is you have so many good wrestlers, but you only focus on one or two stories at a time, and they all seem to be intertwined, whereas on SmackDown you have, out of the seven women, maybe two good workers, but the personalities have grown because of the airtime they've gotten. So for SmackDown, I think it's just a case of giving them more time. And in the case of Raw, you just have to focus, again, just like we were talking with Bray Wyatt, Bayley needs to be the pure face and not the pure person you need to prove that everyone is dirty on the inside by. And that's kind of what I feel like they're doing with her now.
Would you move one of the top three girls on Raw over to SmackDown?
I would not, and the reason I say that, Brian, is because I think they are good with the quality. I think if you move one, you're going to sacrifice a little bit of the quality. You have a Nia Jax. You have a couple of the other ladies that are coming in that are either on the roster or soon to be on the roster. I think the best bet for Raw is stand pat. With SmackDown, I'd bring up Asuka. I'm hoping that at WrestleMania, when they say everyone on the roster, you know, they give us a little surprise and she's been signed secretly to the SmackDown roster, because she, I think, would add not only a good character, but also an excellent wrestler and the fear of God being put into the other women that she faces.
Yeah, I agree 100% with that.
Yeah, good thoughts. I, the only thing I want to add to this is just that you still have to judge the women's division over how it's progressed in the last year or so. And so to have a lull, I don't think they have anything that's a disaster, but to have a lull, it's still well ahead of what it was. I think I see a little bit of the diva's sexiness kind of creeping back in. And then also, you know, you take the biggest star on SmackDown as far as women goes, for better or for worse, is Nikki, and you put her, and that's not because of what she's on SmackDown, it's because of Total Bellas and Total Divas, and you put her into this mixed program with John Cena, Miz, and Maryse, and so that takes some time away from it too. I think Charlotte's a hell of an act, and I agree very much that Bayley ought to just be Bayley and not this, you know, even Bayley can be corrupted kind of storyline. What the hell is that? So pull this through, but I think there's still places to go. And I also think, like, Asuka coming in and having some, they need to continue to develop what they developed with the NXT Four Horsemen. You know, some more of those and keep feeding it in, and we'll see where that goes. I didn't listen on Wednesday, but I can see where there's some, there's been a lull, but I don't think it's been a disaster yet. We'll see where things go after WrestleMania, but they got to get through, Nikki Bella getting engaged to John Cena is going to take up some of the space for the women. For better, whether that's fair or not, that's what's going to happen.
That's going to get more of a platform than the women's title on SmackDown, to be honest.
Yeah, it is.
And what kind of message is that sending? I hadn't even thought about that, forget about winning a title. She got married. She has a ring.
No, I mean, that's the whole, the whole thing is they disrespect her because John Cena, Maryse has a ring and she doesn't, and very, that kind of thinking, and that's the story, and it'll be there. And I do think that they still have, I'm a big Sasha Banks fan, but Sasha Banks wrestles pretty much naked sometimes. And that kind of deal, they need to adjust.
I love Asuka, but I will disagree with my host, Travis, on the East Coast Cast, because he wrote the Combat Ready or Scantily Clad article in his art a few months ago on The Torch. Asuka, outside of wrestling, is a queer duck in terms of her peculiarities. So allowing her to wear a thong on the outside, and Lord knows what other combos she wears as her battle gear. She's respected in the ring, so you don't pay attention to it. But she also is kind of getting her own little message out with that outfit as well.
Right.
And having seen her in Japan, and having seen her wrestle in matches in which she's, choked her opponent out and then stripped them near naked. Like, the grass isn't greener in other places just because work rate happens to be 10 times better, quote unquote.
That's true. And then I've made the argument all, they were inspired by the Williams sisters. They were inspired by Ronda Rousey. The money's in the more mainstream athletic woman. I mean, that's just where the money is. And instead of the niche, half stripper, sex appeal to guys, bathroom match or popcorn match, and that's the truth. And so they kind of go back and forth and try to have, you can't have both worlds, I don't think.
I think they're also going to try to be careful, because they've given the credit for all of this to Stephanie instead of Triple H, so they want to maintain her credit for it. I can tell you, here in Pittsburgh, in fact, when they were here for SmackDown, I was unable to attend because Trey's too young. And Tuesdays is the day we play, you know, I pick him up from day school, daycare, and we kind of play, so I didn't want to go to, you know, wrestling for the sake of my son.
Rich, you have your priorities mixed up.
I know, I'm working on it.
This show. I mean, that kid's going to be around forever no matter what. But, I mean, it's like the wrestling show only comes to town a couple of times a year, and then there's all the independent shows and all the other stuff. Like, you know.
Well, they'll be back for Raw in July, so I'll be sure to, you know, duck them then.
Oh, yeah, yep.
But we were here, and we were playing with his, he's got a little, that cage set that you mentioned, which I felt so bad right before Christmas, realizing, oh, God, they really did create, like, an Owen Hart baby kit and just sold it without any care. But we were playing with his wrestlers, and then on the news, they cited the WWE wrestlers being at the Children's Hospital here in Pittsburgh, and it was an extension of Connor's Cure, which was created by Stephanie McMahon when she saw a need in children's health care.
Oh, wow.
And this is WPXI, which is my NBC affiliate. So this isn't WWE-like propaganda. This is what the news people are telling people.
Yeah, there's a lot to say about that. I would just add this. I'm currently reading Josh Matthews, the former WWE announcer's book, and there's some insight into all that. And, I would say when it comes out, it's a book that I think a lot of people are going to be talking about as far as Connor's Cure and as far as, you know, that message. No doubt.
I remember how adamant he was after the fact, and the same thing with the other announcer that left around the same time, the ring announcer. And Daniel Bryan, you know, had said what he was going to say, and he kind of kept it to himself the rest of the time. But that is one of the many things when you on its head when you think about it. It's kind of like, why do I watch these people again?
Yeah. So that it's a, you know, it's, yeah, it's pretty ruthless. They're pretty tasteless, I guess. So, you know, it's, you know, people do use charity to get over, business wise and all kinds of ways, and it's a little more blatant than I think most of us are used to. So yeah, that's we'll see where the women go, but I think that's, you know, that's part of it. Let's go to 202. You're up next on the PW Torch Livecast.
Oh, my God. Could it be? Bruce, what's up? What is good, Bruce? It's Joey.
Did he say, anyway, should I cut that guy off, or am I missing something?
I don't know who that is yet.
I don't either. So, anyway, I like a normal person when you call. That's kind of a rule.
Yeah, no promos, no, you know, finally The Rock has come back to the Bruce Mitchell audio show.
Yeah, none of that. So there's plenty of other places to watch that as far as wrestling goes. To hear that as far as wrestling goes. And I'm like, I don't mean podcast, I just mean wrestling. That's the wrestlers. That's what they do. So we need to talk about. Where are you on, I think this was a point of contention with The Fix and Todd Martin and editor publisher Wade Keller, where are you on Shane McMahon? As far as Shane McMahon's so high up on the card on the second in a row WrestleMania.
Last year, I was 100% in. I argued vociferously with Travis and Cameron about the fact that Shane, the match against The Undertaker, I understood all of the arguments against it, yet I did not care. I completely bought in while I was watching the match in the arena. This year, after the Survivor Series, and not only his horrible punches, but, you know, finding out from Jericho he was stiffing people to the point where Jericho had to shoot drop kick him in the face to get him to calm down. I'm looking at it sideways, because if I can borrow Rip Rogers, you only have so many bumps on your bump card. And AJ Styles, while he's going to get a nice paycheck, for him as the ardent fan himself and the artist, having one of his WrestleMania moments be a match where Shane McMahon is a human mannequin for his wrestling doesn't seem like the best usage of one of your best talents on the roster.
Yeah, I think we're going to be and Wade and I talked about this some, you know, Wade's talking about it a lot, and we talked about this some on First Hour, Bruce Mitchell Audio Show. And I think we're going to be talking about this into WrestleMania and after WrestleMania. And, you know, it's a McMahon world. And there's, you know, they put the McMahons over first and better and higher than anybody else. You know, superstars.
And their family members, because Triple H got away with some stuff. I know Wade liked it, but I could not stand what happened at the end of Monday Night Raw.
I didn't like it. No, I didn't know Wade liked that. I mean, sometimes Wade will just let me go on and not tell me these things. So,
It smacked of all the stuff that the lawsuit and the things that Ricardo Rodriguez alleged as far as him saying, you know, he was a fat little bumblebee. Like those little jokes, or when he, when Booker T was announcing and disagreeing with a move and he got in his face, he's like, Booker, you need this job, right?
Right.
Like that's the varsity guy on the football team walking up to the kid and trying to either pretend to snuff him or do the little jerk move to get you to flinch. He's like, oh, I wasn't going to hit you.
Yeah, I thought, watching that, I just thought that that if Mick Foley was going to have a match, and it's impossible, but if Mick Foley was going to have a match with Triple H and got a comeback and got a physical comeback, then maybe I could see some of that. But there's just that contempt, and there's not that comeback. And I'm not crazy about Triple H just outsmarting, sure that Seth Rollins is going to win the match at WrestleMania, but I'm still not happy about him outsmarting him at every single turn. I mean, that's not, you know, and then, you know, just because you won a match and if you get beat up by the guy, if you smoke him, that's one thing, but that's not going to happen. You get beat up by the guy and then you find a way to get a pin, that doesn't put you over that doesn't advance you or make you seem like you're an equal or anything else. It just means you want a match against a guy who dominates dominates everything he does, and hey, he lost the match, big deal. He can afford to lose a match because he's the game and he's in the family.
And to me, there's nothing, and that's where I kind of like, you know, this is, like last week I was saying it felt real to me because of the whole Christopher Daniels. This felt real to me because you were standing in this ring, and I don't care how much Mick Foley greenlit, just like they said the stuff they did about Rick's son. You are telling a guy that you're going to make fun of him about not being able to remember the places he's at because of the headshots he took from you to get you over because you were the King of Kings and you needed a stunt double to help you look like the toughest SOB in the yard at the time.
Yeah, exactly. And that, you know,
and he can't say that back. He can't say, I don't remember I'm in Albuquerque, New Mexico because you wrapped a chair around my head 15 times, The Rock did it 12 times, Austin did it a couple of times. You can remember your daughter's names because you got to be the guy who tore his quads and everybody likes you.
And that would be, you know, and if he did, that's more a real life debate, not a fight debate. You know what I mean? I mean, it's like, that's like, and even with even if you took out the, you know, the damage it would do to the company's image by reminding people of all that. I think there's good heel heat. And there's not good, and there's just, and then there's just trying to, you know, trying to entertain yourself and be a bully. And there's some other examples of that this week, but I definitely see that stuff. So, Rich, appreciate the, we got through the first half, and Duke is leading, so I don't feel like I'm accursed by not putting all my attention into playing defense through my television, and so that's. I appreciate your support in that endeavor. And, hug the wife. She did a great job last weekend. What a ride that was. And I'm glad that you didn't like it. That was cool.
Before we hang up, I'd be remiss because she did ask me to hand the phone off to wish you good luck in the rest of the tournament. So hold on one moment.
I'm on air.
You are.
Oh. Go Duke.
Go Duke.
We're watching right now. It's halftime.
Oh, Bruce knows. He's watching too.
Oh, okay. You're watching. It's halftime. We got a pretty good game going. Trey's godmother, Rosie, is attending the game. We've been texting updates as the game went by. So, good times.
Good deal. I can't tell you my admiration for Duke cheerleaders over the years. So you're my hero.
Did you ever go to a game between 2002 and 2006?
I didn't at Cameron then. I went to games in the Greensboro Coliseum. And I'm trying to think
of the ABC tournaments then?
Yeah. I had tickets. I had season tickets when I was a kid. I ushered for about 15 or 16 years at Cameron. And then when I became a teacher, I couldn't usher. So that was kind of my sacrifice for that. But I'm still right there. So, yeah, I probably saw you. I'm sure I've seen you.
Rich will text you a picture from 06 to see if it looks familiar to you. But two Duke things to ask you if you remember. You probably remember Crazy Towel Guy, right?
Oh, absolutely. I've been in Cameron a ton of times with him for years.
He's just a legend. And then do you remember that kid who was caught on TV crying at the ACC tournament when he was like 3 years old?
Yeah.
And then the next year he brought a sign that was like, look, Dickie V, I'm not crying this year.
Yeah, I remember that. Sure, yeah.
That was so cute.
There's nothing better. Yeah, well, thank you for your contributions to the most important thing there is, Duke basketball.
Oh, and thank you for being a loyal fan.
Yeah. Get Rich. Just, you know, either stay on him until he caves or make his life miserable until, you know, like I said.
I know. We got to get him to Cameron, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That'll do it.
Okay. All right, good to talk to you. Here's Rich.
Right,
have a good night.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, so I feel like I've done my husbandly duties for the tournament.
So she knows what to do. She's going to take you to Cameron, then you'll switch over then. Then you'll see the world correctly instead of all the media propaganda, that, you know, all the fake news. I hate saying that. Anyway, appreciate everybody listening. We'll be back on Bruce Mitchell Audio Show with Jeff Baldron. And if you don't know who that is, I think you'll enjoy this show. We'll be taping on Sunday. And if you're at the Oak City Comic Con in Raleigh, North Carolina tomorrow, find the Parts Unknown table, come by and say hello. I will be doing stooge duty for John Hitchcock at that. I'll be picking up the table and carrying boxes and all that kind of crap. I haven't been to a comic book convention in a couple of decades, so that ought to be fun. We'll see how that goes.
Excellent. Are you bringing any are there going to be any special guests there?
The two big guests are me as a stooge and Ron of Run DMC. The great Neil Adams, who I'm looking forward to meeting, is my favorite comic artist, so that'll be cool.
Excellent. And when you get a chance, you should probably give Travis a hard time, because finally, after a year of me getting on his case, he started reading Why the Last Man.
Oh, he sent me some text this week going, I just finished the first edition. It was so great, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, he didn't mention that, you know, that you had to nag him into it. I still love the fact that he's reading the current version of Dark Knight Returns and never read the original. I'm still like,
oh yeah, well,
like, what
he's funny because I went on Amazon and had him buy the first issue or first trade paperback of Why the Last Man and three of Saga, just because the same author, you know, same author, and
yeah,
I had been telling him,
if
you like dystopian future, female protagonist, female antagonist, this might be something you'd like as a new comic book reader. And he bought them and then complained to me, you had me spend $25 on these dumb books, and now a year later he's reading them, and he's like, oh my God, these are the greatest thing ever. I can't believe I don't have more.
I don't know. What I've learned over the years is, like, when you get somebody into it, it's like, they can't tell you. It's like, Bruce is a pain in the ass, so he recommends something, then I'm not going to look at it. And then finally I'll look at it, and then I'll go, it's good. But I've got to wait a long enough time where, you know, I can claim that I found it myself or some damn thing. I mean, the classic case of Eric Bischoff and Wade Keller, Eric Bischoff's book and Wade Keller. That was at its nth degree. But, yeah, he does that. It's like,
oh, with the cruiserweight.
Yeah, I can't. So, yeah. But anyway, Rich, enjoy the second half of the game, or at least the person in your family I like, enjoy the second half of the game, and say hello to that kid, and we'll be back this weekend and be back next Friday night. Appreciate it.
All right, sounds good. Good luck to the Blue Devils.
Yes, sir. And I know you mean it.
I mean it as much as it legally binds me to do so, married to my wife.
which is exactly what it is. All right, talk to you.
All right.
If you're a fan of the PW Torch livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host three other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post pay-per-view roundtables with the 1 hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to PWTorchVIP.com. And that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly. And also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues, with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. Takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip.
Yeah.